Jesus said to the 12, "Fear no one. Fear no one." This is a command from the mouth of the Lord. And I think it's a difficult one to understand because fear in many ways is a natural emotional reaction to things that feel, that we perceive are dangerous or are difficult. I can remember as a child, like, I was afraid of Mrs. Lutz, my first grade teacher. I was afraid of Mrs. Shirk, my second grade teacher. I was afraid of Mrs. Fajarski, my third grade teacher. I was afraid of my dad sometimes. Afraid of my mom because she washed my mouth out with vinegar when I cursed. It took me a long time to get over vinegar. Fear no one. You know, right up until this point in Matthew's gospel, Jesus has been healing. He's been teaching. He's been preaching. And his apostles, his closest friends, have been witnesses to all of it. And I think there's something that's stirring in them now. We've watched him enough. He's kind of been mentoring us. I get the sense that he's going to ask us to do what he's been doing, that he's actually going to send us out now. And they've also seen the Pharisees, who at every twist and turn that they come against Jesus. They've seen the Romans, who don't really like Jesus as well, and that Jesus has had all these persecutions and roadblocks set in front of him. And so what the Lord is doing here is preparing them for the coming persecutions, that if you're going to go out and acknowledge me before others, persecutions are coming to you. And he exhorts them to fear no one. And then he goes on and he says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna." And that you wonder about that. Like, anybody can kill the body, I suppose, but who's the one who's the judge of souls? And you think, well, of course, that's Satan who's going to send us to the fires of Gehenna, but that's wrong. That the one who can both judge soul and body is the one Heavenly Father, who sees and who is a just judge, that there should be a certain fear of our Heavenly Father. Fear is this natural reaction, that if there's some good in the future that I want in my life, or if there's some good that I already have, I'm afraid of losing it. That if there's something that I don't have, I'm afraid that maybe that thing will never come to pass, that I won't have this relationship, or I won't have that peace that endures. And so out of fear, so often we come up with anxiously striving and grasping to gather those things. Or if I don't have something that I want this and I'm afraid that God's not going to give it. And so out of fear, we maybe avoid some certain things and we manipulate our lives so that we can somehow or another grasp what we think belongs to us. And in other places, instead of Jesus saying this negative precept, fear no one, he gives us a positive precept, and he says, take courage. Take courage. Courage is the antidote to fear. It's this virtue. It's a stable habit of the soul that encourages us to pursue the difficult good thing in our life. Relationships are difficult. Striving higher and challenging ourselves are difficult. Going beyond the life of sin that we're living into a life of freedom and virtue, that's a difficult thing to pursue, and it takes courage. But courage isn't just shown in the moment, in an instant. Anybody can be courageous for 3 seconds. Courage is best shown over long suffering. Courage is best shown over enduring time and again. Courage is best shown not just in weeks or months, but in years and in decades. Courage is necessary for living out your vocation, whether it be to marriage or priesthood or consecrated life. Courage is digging deep into the difficult good that God has placed before us, because we are difficult goods. We're goods, but we're difficult. And what courage looks like over a long period of time, you would call fidelity, faithfulness, which we don't always see modeled in the people around us, but is modeled perfectly in God the Father and in Jesus Christ, whom he sent into the world. That even though we're forlorn, even though we forsake him, even though we walk away from the Lord and choose sin instead of him, that God continues to show up, God continues to provide for his people. And so Jesus gives us a certain fear of God the Father, but it's this reverential fear that says, you are so good, Lord, I don't want to disappoint you. I know what you've laid out for my life. I know at least the commandments that you've laid out, and I don't want to forsake you. I don't want to run away from you. I'm going to choose you even though it's difficult. And I've got to dig deep into courage to choose the difficult thing, to give up this or to choose that instead. And in case Jesus has painted a bleak and fearful picture of God the Father, he gives us a more gentle consideration of God the Father. And he says, are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? I think the analogy is lost kind of 2,000 years later. I don't know how much a sparrow costs these days. I'll have to check the consumer reports after Mass. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? A small coin, a small amount. Yet not one of these sparrows falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. That our Heavenly Father's, there's nothing that he misses. He sees even the sparrows who toil and gather food and build nests and reproduce or whatever they do, sparrows. He misses none of it. He sees all things. He sees the crosses that we carry, the burdens that we face. He sees us in the midst of temptation. He sees us as we labor to love other people. And Jesus goes on, even all the hairs of your head are counted, which honestly is easier for some of us than others. All the hairs. He misses nothing. He says, so do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows, which is a hyperbole. Like, our Heavenly Father knows the infinite value of every human soul. And so the encouragement is to not be afraid, but also to take courage. You know, especially on this Father's Day, as we consider the fatherhood of God and the earthly fatherhood of you all dads out there, in the scriptures and both as they describe our Heavenly Father and fathers here on earth, we see two big characteristics that come out. That the Father is life giver on one hand, and that he's provident. He provides for his children on the other hand. That life begins with God the Father, who creates all things, who fashions Adam out of the dust of the earth, and he fashions Eve from the side of Adam, that he begets life. And for you dads, like, you beget life. I get that it takes two to tango, but it starts with you and your wife, that you beget life. And there's a biological sphere to that, but our fathers are called not just to give biological life, but a certain spiritual, emotional life, that fathers are called to bless and encourage their children. Mom's always going to be there to care and nurture. We know that, Mom. We love you. Thank you, moms. But it's the voice of the father to be able to point out to their child, it's like, I see the potential in you. You're stronger than you know. You're more capable than you realize. And I've got to call that out of you. Not in a way that puts you down, but in a way that builds you up and gets you to believe in yourself. And that we need that reinforcement from our dads, from our fathers, to say, I see so much in you, and I want to be alongside you as you continue forward. As we hear in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are at my side. That sons and daughters receive strength and encouragement because their fathers are by their side along the way, especially along the difficult journeys that life always brings us. None of us avoid the cross. That you beget life in other people. And on the other hand, that the father, a dad, is provident. He provides. And so often for us, we get tripped up when we think that's about money. It's about buying things that money can buy. And for little kids, and honestly big kids, when it comes down to it at the end of the day, children care less about your money or what money can buy. They care that you provide a stable home. They care that you provide a sturdy shelter. They care that you provide stability in the midst of all the difficult, changing things in the world, because life is changing constantly. But the Father is the one who has to abide and provide strength in the midst of the waves and the wind. That they provide encouragement, of course, but they provide support for wife and for kids. There's a real provident side of fatherhood. And Jesus, as he dismounts this discourse, as he's sending his apostles into the world, he says, "Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father." And this is what happens every time we come to Mass, that we show up here in faith and we beg the Lord Jesus to plead on our behalf to our heavenly Father. That Jesus mounts the cross and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He pleads on our behalf because we acknowledge him as Lord. We acknowledge him as Redeemer, as Savior, and we're the ones who need to be saved. But on the negative, he says, "But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my heavenly Father." And we need to recognize in ourselves the places, the situations, the people that maybe we're afraid to acknowledge, "I'm a Christian," or "I'm a Catholic," because that comes with a label in my workplace, in my school, in the relationships that I have. I sort of shudder from being able to acknowledge that. And when opportunities come, when I feel the impulse of the Holy Spirit to say something or to be the example, I shudder from that and I hide away. That if we acknowledge the Lord Jesus before others, he will acknowledge us before his heavenly Father. But if we deny him, he too will deny us. Today on this Father's Day, and on every day, the encouragement comes to us to fear no one and really to take courage in the midst of the battle that we wage every single day, not because God is fearful and we need to labor under the belief that he only tolerates us, but rather to know that we are worth more than many sparrows, whatever that means for you. That God the Father thinks so highly of you as sons and daughters, and that we would fear disappointing him, not because he's cruel, but out of love. The Christian life was never meant to be a loveless life. It's actually it's called to be abundant life and abundant love. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows.